What's the history of free grace theology, and how do I find a church that lines up with that? That's some questions from listeners just like you. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. We're currently taking questions from listeners like you. You may be wondering, how do I get my questions answered by Bob and Sean? You can do so by sending us a message, radio@faithalone.org. We'll do the trick. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're answering your questions. We have been for a little while. We love getting your questions. We need more. Send us more questions, radio@faithalone.org, and we will get to your questions if we can. If you can make the questions kind of to the point, that would really help us, because there's just the two of us here, and we only have, you know, it would help us if you just pinpointed what your question was.
Absolutely.
Here is a question from Daniel, and Daniel says, first of all, how can I find churches that teach free grace theology?
Well, that's fairly simple. We have a list. If you go to our website, faithalone.org, at the top bar, you'll see something called Connect. If you click on Connect, a drop-down menu will come, and you can click on Free Grace Churches, called a church tracker. When you click on the church tracker, you will have an option of entering a zip code.
Right.
And if you enter a zip code, it will show you a map of that region, and it'll have pins where there are churches on our church tracker list.
Yeah, it's basically a Google Maps feature that we have a list of Free Grace Churches. Now, by the way, people submit their churches to be part of our church tracker. And we don't do a whole lot of research. We just go to the website, we look at the statement of faith, and we make sure they don't teach salvation by works. But it's really depending upon you guys to tell us whether the church tracker is accurate or not, and to say, oh no, the pastor changed on this church, and that now they teach work salvation. So check it out. Take it as a guide, but don't take it as a 100% guarantee.
Right. There's not a lot. I think we have a couple hundred throughout the country, more in some states than others. So you may find there's not one very close to you, or you may find three or four close to you.
Right.
Another suggestion I would have is you might look, Chafer Theological Seminary lists some of the doctrinal churches that they're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Seminary has a website. It will list their graduates in an area, or you can call Dallas Seminary. Now, not all graduates are going to be grace-oriented. The likelihood is higher if you find somebody that graduated, say, before 1990 than after 1990. Florida Bible College, I believe, has a list of Florida Bible College pastors. Most of the Florida Bible College pastors would be people who come from a grace perspective.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
So those are some options. But aside from our website, it's not going to necessarily be just like falling off a log. You're going to have to do a little research.
Another question that Daniel has is, do you have any info as to which churches believe like us and the history of this theology in modern times? All right, what's the history of this theology in modern times? I think it probably starts with, well, it depends on what you mean by modern.
Right.
Are we talking about like since the 20th century? Then it would probably start with Lewis Sperry Chafer.
Right. Oberholzer with Child Evangelism Fellowship would be another one. Doc Latham with New Tribes and Awana would be another one. Florida Bible College, Dr. Mark Cameron.
Basically, the way it started was these guys were teaching faith alone, apart from works, for salvation, and that the believer is eternally secure. Right. And there's this thing called eternal rewards in the coming millennial
right.
kingdom. And there was pushback in evangelicalism. I can't think of who the major pushback people would have been before John MacArthur.
Well, there was an article written, I think it was 1955 or thereabouts, dealing with this issue. And I think John Stott was one of the earlier people that had issues with this. Of course, A.W. Tozier had issues with this, even though Tozier was great on the existence of God and the importance of believing in God and everything else. He was lordship in his basic perspective. Zane Hodges, of course, would have been a key player in recent years in this. Charles Ryrie would have been important from Western Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Oral Rodmacher would have been important.
Right.
Now, there's lots of people, but you can go all the way back. The Merrill controversy was based on a book called The Merrill of Modern Divinity in around 1670, and the controversy came up around 1720, 1730.
This is in Scotland.
Scotland with the Calvinists in Scotland.
Yeah.
And you can look on our website. There's an article on the Merrill controversy, and we also have several articles on the history of free grace theology that people can check out. But, of course, the truth is our theology is only as good as the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter how many people we can point to that agree with our basic position.
Right.
The truth is it's either true or not true based on the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And we don't try to present the idea that our position has ever been the majority position.
Right.
As far as I can tell, the only time it was a majority position would have been in a church pastored by one of the apostles or pastored by Timothy or Titus. And even there, based on the epistles, they had some issues.
Well, even in Galatians, right? Think of a whole province. Think of Massachusetts or Oklahoma,
right,
or Texas. And they're all departing from the gospel, or they're at risk of doing so.
Right.
And then Paul's writing, is it to Timothy or is it to Titus? All of Asia.
Yeah.
Another province. Oh, imagine a whole state of churches abandoning the gospel. That was happening in Paul's day.
Right.
I always kind of smile to myself in a sad, ironic way when people from very old churches say, well, we've had these traditions way back to the apostles. And I think, yes, you have. Because way back from the time of the apostles, people were abandoning the gospel.
And Thomas F. Torrance wrote a book called The Doctrine of Grace in the Apostolic Fathers. And he shows that the people who followed the apostles, to a man, abandoned the concept of justification by faith alone. So you don't find in the writings of the church fathers a free grace position. You may find an occasional quote, but if you read them carefully, you're going to find that they were holding to some form of work salvation.
Well, I hope that answers his question. Here is another question from David. All right, David says, ask, did God create the universe knowing that billions of people would suffer for all eternity, or did everything change after the fall of Satan and the introduction of evil?
Yes, no.
Okay, so
He knew all this was going to happen, and no, he didn't get surprised when Adam and Eve fell.
Right, so he must have known that that was going to happen. Now, I think David's question is, how could God know that and go ahead and do it anyways?
And the answer is, and this is hard for us to see, this is the best possible situation. God picked the best. There could have been 50 or 50 million different other ways he could have done it. But God did it in the way that was best. And so this is the best of all possible worlds.
We just have to take that as a leap of faith.
Well, it's not really a leap of faith because we know that God's character is such that he's good, he's loving, he's love, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind, he's merciful. And we also know he's just in all that he does.
Right.
Now, we also know that the majority of mankind is not on the way that leads to life, and that few actually find it. Now, we don't know percentages, but it seems that it's less than 50% of humanity. And so far, like today, we've got about 7 billion people, and only 2.3 billion even claim to be Christians, and many of those people are not born again.
Right.
So the truth is, we have a situation where, yes, there are billions of people who are going to end up in the lake of fire. But part of the problem is, I think we take a medieval view of the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
We read Dante's Inferno, or we hear sermons about the pain there will be worse than anything ever experienced on earth. And I think, well, where is there a single verse anywhere in the Bible that says that? It's called torment, and it's eternal torment.
Mm-hmm.
But read my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. I have a chapter on hell in which I talk about this. And now you're working on a book on the lake of fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be dealing with these questions too. But it seems to me, if you were to come up to a person in the lake of fire and you said, I'm giving you a choice, would you rather be annihilated or would you rather continue to exist? I think to a person, they'd say, I want to continue to exist. Because it's going to be a bearable torment. God doesn't give people an unbearable torment.
Now, you say that because of just one verse, right?
Well, there's a verse in Matthew 10, another one in Matthew 11. It says it'll be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah, more tolerable for those in Tyre and Sidon in the Day of Judgment.
Yeah.
And the Day of Judgment is a metaphor for what comes after it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me some are going to have a more tolerable experience and some a less tolerable experience. But the other thing I fall back on is, if you had a situation where the lake of fire was intolerable,
mm-hmm.
then it seems to me your view of God would be that he's a monster.
Well, that's what a lot of people think, right?
Right. But that's not who God is. God will give people torment. That's what they pick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want Jesus as their king, so they're going to get the torment.
Right.
But the torment will be bearable. So, yes, I have verses that say it'll be more tolerable and less tolerable. But you also have just the basic character of God. He's not going to give people punishment that they're unable to bear.
So, God absolutely had to know, and I agree with that. I mean, God had to know. But what makes it kind of acceptable is that the lake of fire is going to be tolerable.
Right.
Or we have a suggestion of that in the New Testament, that it'll be tolerable. So it's not as horrible as you think it's going to be.
But let me finally end with this. Even if it were going to be intolerable, I would just say, I don't know how to explain that, but I'll find out in eternity future.
Right. At the end of the day, it's kind of like trying to explain the internet to an ant. You know, you're not going to do
it. And
we're
the ant.
And we're the ant.
That's right. That's right.
So it's like, Scripture doesn't tell us this answer exactly.
Right.
It doesn't explain these things to us. And so instead of trying to dig out the secret things of God that he's decided to keep hidden, for myself, I'm just going to trust in his goodness and his love.
We need some humility here. God knows all, and God is good. So whatever is going to happen in eternity future for those who don't believe, it will be just, it will be in keeping with the character and the nature of God. And so we don't need to worry about the unbeliever's eternal destiny after they die. What we need to do is talk to unbelievers now so that they hear the promise of life, and then they can come to faith in Christ and avoid the fate that doesn't need to be theirs.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not King Saul was actually born again. What an interesting question. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.